And now a word from our compliance department. David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual's situation and engagement of the services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Yes, here he is, and that's me, and let's get the show started. Lots of good stuff to talk about today with you. And I'm flipping through my huge stack of stuff. Oh, this is good stuff. Okay, interesting topics today. One that's very relevant to some 2 million Americans, being laid off at crunch time, those last 5 to 10 years before you retire, getting laid off, losing your job, what in the world do you do about it? And we'll also be talking about the 12 warning signs of a possible financial scam, right out of my book. I'm going to share that with you. But before we do that, I can hardly wait. Here it is.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
And there he is.
Here I is.
What's up, Scott?
Not much.
You look so happy over there.
I am happy.
Are you enjoying the new studio?
I love the studio. It's beautiful.
Pretty fancy.
The commute is easy.
We're going to have guests coming. Everybody wants to come and check it out.
As they should. It's terrific.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. I got a few tweaks and things to do here, but very, very convenient. You walk, what, 6 feet from your office?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, good deal. Well, tell us what we need to know.
We had a David kind of market today.
I love it.
Not much happening. Up 68 points on the Dow.
That's beautiful. You know, because you do that every day. I mean, that's a heck of a year.
Yeah, NASDAQ up 25, S&P up 11 to close 1291 on Tuesday's market. Gold up $24 to $16.32 an ounce, and oil up slightly. Oil still over $100 a barrel at Tuesday's close. We were stronger in the morning with European strength kind of tailing along with them, but after the European markets closed, we got a little bit flatter. But still, overall, Tuesday's market followed up a good market on Monday, and hopefully we'll continue to see that trend going forward. A lot of optimism out of companies sort of led Tuesday's market. Alcoa, which I know you want to talk about, although their earnings were not terrific, the CEO had some very positive things to say about his expectations for business going into 2012. And that optimism was kind of spread across the board on Tuesday. Integrated circuit developer Cirrus Logic said they expect to show revenue growth of 28% on strong demand. So that's good news. And yoga wear manufacturer Lululemon boosted their outlook as well.
Lululemon.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's they do all the yoga
and yoga clothing.
Running apparel.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with that. My wife loves to buy her running stuff from Lululemon.
It is not inexpensive.
And so they had a good earning report?
Yeah, they've been doing really, really well.
So I helped to take care of it.
That's well, maybe you'll get
help to pay for that. Okay.
So the dividend goes from David's pocket to the investor's pocket.
Yeah, the wife's going to love that one.
Yeah,
okay,
it wasn't all good news. Goodyear Tire fell a little bit. They had a downbeat presentation in front of auto industry conference in Germany. Tiffany had a really disappointing number. They've been doing quite well. Worst news on the day on Tuesday came from WebMD. Their CEO resigned, and they said, we were talking about being taken over and purchased by a bigger company, but now we don't want to do that anymore.
That didn't sound good.
No, that didn't sound good. One thing that did catch my eye in Tuesday's market, something we haven't seen in a while, is that we're starting to see some real strength in home builders, the stocks of home builders. We'll get Lennar's earnings announcements later this week, but if you look at the Spider home builders, the exchange-traded fund that tracks the home builder stocks, up 38% since October.
Really? Now, that's interesting because, you know, you wouldn't expect that with still all this inventory out there. And also the banks, you know, slowly, you know, the whole thing is that they're trickling on and putting more houses out there and selling from their inventory. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, can say, hey, look, there's a home on my street. And, you know, everybody's got a home on their street that's been foreclosed or short sale. And
well,
so
a lot
surprising.
Of what they've done is convert to multifamily construction, as we have even across the street.
Ah, that's right.
Here from the studios. So
they've gone into the multifamily heavy.
Yeah, and the rental market is hot.
So who is that hurting? Is it because the rental market is just so hot that's driving a lot of demand for that, or are they squeezing out somebody that maybe specializes in?
Well, who it's hurting is a construction company that can't make the conversion from building homes to building apartments. That's who it hurts. And then finally, the last little bit of news that I saw for you that I wanted to tell you about in Tuesday's market was Apple announced the compensation for their CEO. They're going to pay that fine gentleman $378 million in 2011, for 2011, almost all in the form of restricted stock.
I like them apples.
That's a lot of apples. Yeah. Good for him, though. I mean, he worked his way up there, and he was handpicked by Steve Jobs, and it's a big change from the $1 salary that Steve Jobs used to take, but...
That's a lot of money, but if he can, you know what, it seems excessive, and to everybody listening and to us sitting here, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, CEO's job is to make its shareholders money, though.
And that's what the point is that they are creating incentives that if he grows the company, see, all this announcement of information is about what it's going to be when the company grows to a certain level. He gets a real nice paycheck, but if it doesn't grow, he doesn't make much money.
Yeah, and he is very much thought to be in tune with the product development, was working hand-in-hand with Steve Jobs as they came up with the next iPad and the next iPhones and the Apple TV, which is really going to be a critical part of their growth going forward as well. Looking forward to Wednesday's market, we get the Beige Book in the afternoon. Thursday, we get an unemployment number. And then Friday, we get earnings announcements from J.P. Morgan.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, next week really starts earnings.
So for our listeners, what they need to be thinking about as they're hearing this and they're seeing these reports come out is that we're seeing some positive signs.
Domestically,
yeah. And so they need to keep that in mind as they look at their portfolio.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that I think we're starting to see what they call a decoupling, which means that our economy is starting to say, listen, we need to focus on our economy. Things are going well. We need to keep our momentum going. Europe is going to do what they're going to do, but we're not going to move every single day based on whatever headline is coming
out
of
Europe. So it's almost like we've absorbed and we've become somewhat numb to the markets are starting to become somewhat numb. And I think a lot of people are, as individual investors, becoming somewhat numb to the whole European thing. It's like, okay, we got it. You guys have problems with your debt.
Yeah, I think so too. However, if there is an acute event in Europe, particularly with Greece in the next couple of months, which we'll also talk about, then there is no hiding from that.
Well, and we will get to that. And just real quick, you know, a couple of things on the international stock indexes that we look at. Brazil continues to look pretty good. They're up 4% year to date. Italy, not good. They're down 4.5% already this year.
Yeah, 10-year yields are back up over 7% in Italy as well.
Well, let's come back from our break and we'll get into the Greece and all the details and why Alcoa, they didn't make any money, but why that's still good news.
All right.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read will find you clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
You know that makes you want to laugh and dance, right? Or dance and laugh.
Me? I laugh every time. I love that.
Well, I want to come back to the and break it down because I want to come back to Alcoa. You know, we talked a little bit about Alcoa on yesterday's show, and here's the big question that I know everybody wants to ask is, okay, they lost money in the fourth quarter. They still made, I want to clarify too, they still made money for the year. Okay, and we were talking mostly about the fourth quarter, but they still made money for the year, a lot of money, but not anywhere near what they had made in previous quarters, and they went from a pretty substantial profit to not so much as a profit. So with that, why does Wall Street celebrate that maybe not performing as well? And let's help people understand why that matters to their portfolios.
Yeah, well, Alcoa always seems to get more attention than pretty much any other Dow component when they announce earnings because they're always the first one. So they're the first one to announce earnings, and they're kind of isolated. There really were no other major earnings announcements Monday. So there's a lot of focus on that earnings announcement. And they're often seen as sort of an indicator of their perceived economic strength going forward because they make aluminum. And the big users of aluminum are companies like Ford and Boeing and GE and appliance makers and things like that. So the CEO of Alcoa comes out and he says, we're expecting a global aluminum demand increase in 2012 of 7%. Okay, we'll extrapolate that out to why? Well, that means more cars, more planes, more appliances, things
and,
like
and
that.
No hard landing, no real drop hard for China.
Right. So if GE thinks they need to build more appliances, Ford thinks they need to build more cars, Boeing thinks they need to build more airplanes, that means they're all seeing growth.
You know, it's interesting, Scott. The CEO is saying, hey, we expect 7% increase in demand. But by the way, we're going to shut down 12% of our smelting capabilities.
Yeah, a lot of that is just strictly expense cutting. You know, they can be as efficient without those properties. They're also looking at a deficit of aluminum supplies of about 600,000 metric tons this year. So, you know, they're trying to not glut the market. They are by far the biggest producer of aluminum, so they can kind of control what the supply is. They can't control the demand, but they can control the supply.
You know, it was really interesting with the price of aluminum being about $2,500 per ton, and some of these smelters they had, the ones they shut down, were ones where the actual cost was more than they could sell the aluminum, so they were guaranteed to lose money. So the plants or factories they shut down were ones that were actually flat out losing their money because of the particular location, the labor cost, or whatever it was.
Yeah, their CEO, Klaus Kleinfeld, is thought to be one of the better CEOs, particularly among Dow companies. But even at that, when these earnings announcements come out, it has a tendency to cause investors to really look into a stock, especially when they're isolated like Alcoa.
Well, I think Alcoa is they get beaten up for, you know, when there's expectations the economy won't grow as much, and some of the concerns with Greece and the European Union, they took a hit.
Yeah.
But they are building back, and I like Alcoa. You know, we're not going to get into stock picking on this show.
Yeah.
But I like them, and I think they're a good solid core holding for someone as part of an overall diversified portfolio.
Well, I'll put it to you this way: at $9.50, let's call it that or so per share, they basically trade at their book value.
Wow.
Now, but that's book value after all those plants have been depreciated, which we don't want to get too far into, but that doesn't speak to replacement value. So if you wanted to all of a sudden build your own Alcoa, it would cost you a lot more than the $9.65 billion in book value that Alcoa has right now.
Wow, that's pretty – okay. Well, I think that they're one to watch, and we'll talk more about Alcoa. But they are – the reason we talk about them so much, ladies and gentlemen, at least right now, is because they are a very good indicator. They're a leading indicator, and it gives us an idea of where things are headed. And if Alcoa starts to do better and there's better expectations – then there's certainly going to be some better outlook. And it also gives us, as we've talked about, Scott, a very good read on China. Because they import they're one of the largest. I think they are the largest importer
of
almost everything. But they consume 44% of all the aluminum smelted in the world.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough smelting for one day.
All right.
Let's get over to Greece, because I know you're dying to talk about it.
Well, it's things are starting to come to a head in Greece. They have a massive bond payment due in March, $14 billion due in mid-March. And the way things are right now, they're week to week, Greece is cash flow negative, which means they're not collecting enough taxes to pay all their bills, basically. So you put that in with the specter of a $14 billion payment due in mid-March, and they have, real problems.
And their credit's not real good.
Credit is not
good. I'll pay
good
you
at
next
all.
Week.
Yeah, their credit is not good at all. They're paying 35% on 10-year bonds. Compare that to ours, which is about 2% on a 10-year bond. And everybody's going crazy about Italy. They're paying 7% on a 10-year bond. So the difference between 7 and 35%, I mean, no country could sustain a 35% interest rate on 10 years.
No. No way.
So they have this massive debt payment coming due. And if they can't pay it, it might default a credit default swap. One of the ways they're trying to fight this off is they're saying to everybody, that they're trying to say to people that hold a bond, here's what we'll do. For every dollar in bonds you have, we'll give you 15 cents in cash, 35 cents in, let's say a 30-year bond, and then you're just going to kind of have to eat the rest.
Gosh, what a deal. Where do I sign up?
So
nobody's going to knock down the door getting to that deal.
Well, especially if you have a credit default swap, which is nothing more than insurance that you're going to get paid your money back. So if I'm sitting here with a Greek bond and I think Greece is about to default, I'd almost rather they default because I know the insurance company has to pay me all the money that I would have got on face value.
Not good. Not good at all. You know, the biggest issue I think that we face with Greece, and we'll call it a day for talking about Greece, is that it's the domino effect that everybody's worried. You know, the European Union would not be so – I mean, they're part of the union, and that's part of the deal. But I think the reason why there's so much concern for Germany and France, and especially for Italy and Spain, is there's a ripple effect. One of the bigger concerns that if Greece actually defaults – that'll make it very, very difficult for countries like Spain and then going to Italy. And it's one thing for a country that has their rank number 39 in the world with $318 billion in gross domestic product for Greece to default or have difficulty. But Spain is in the trillion-dollar club for GDP. So their country produces over $1.3 trillion in production. And then same thing for Italy, 1.7.
Well, if bondholders have to take a 40% haircut on Greek bonds, that's about a $22 billion loss for them. And there are very few businesses that can sustain that kind of loss.
All right. Well, I can't sustain any more time for us on the Finglish English segment today, Scott. But we'll be back tomorrow with more. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to talk about what to do if you've been laid off when you're later in life and you're in those prime working years. How do you recover from that and still retire successfully? Stick around.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 13 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
We are back, and as promised, let's talk about what to do, and this is tough, but if you're laid off, or you lose your job, or your company shuts down, or whatever happens, and you are without a job during your final push toward retirement, the million-dollar, multi-million-dollar question is, what do you do about it? How do you deal with that? Do you just throw your hands up in the air? Do you say, okay, I'll retire early, I don't have any other choice, and I'll just draw on my investments till they run out of money, and then I'll figure out something else later, and maybe I'll buy extra lottery tickets. Well, there are lots of schools of thought out there, and what I want to share with you are some practical ways to deal with this situation if you find yourself here in that kind of predicament, or just for you to understand that you have, you know, what are your backup plans? What do you do if that happens? What's your fallback position? What's plan B, C, and D if this happens to you? And part of the challenge right now is that a lot of older Americans who have lost their jobs also are facing the double whammy of having declining home values. There's not the equity there that there used to be that you could sell the home and then downsize and then have a good chunk, $50,000, $100,000 or whatever it is, of cash money that you get out of that sale. A lot of people are underwater in their homes, and their investment portfolios are still underwater, or they're treading water at best. So to have this happen, And there are over, as I said earlier in the show, there's over 2 million people that have been affected this way, over 55 that have been affected in this manner and have lost that income. And now they're trying to figure out, how do I deal with this? And the other challenge, just to make it even more difficult, is those that are over 55. New York Times had a report out stating that over 55 workers who went unemployed, it took them on average 52 weeks, so a full year, to find another job, and some 200,000 just quit looking. So that's really a difficult thing. So what do you do? What do you do about that? It's a serious problem. Well, first thing you can do is reassess your options. And, you know, it's not just being laid off. It might, what if your company gets bought out or and you say, okay, that's it. We don't need your position anymore. And it's not a bad thing, but then you end up getting lost in the shuffle. You might want to reassess your career opportunities. Do you take what you have learned and go start your own company? You can take, you know, and say, okay, I've learned a lot. I've given 30, 40 years to other people. I think I'll do it for myself. A lot of small businesses get started after unemployment jumps up and people say, okay, do I go to work, try to find another job, or do I go and start my own company? I bumped into a guy at lunch today. Funny, ironic. Bumped into him and he had worked for other companies and decided to start his own company. And so I talked to him a little bit before I went in and have lunch. And it's interesting. So it's out there. And so that may be something to do, is to take some of your retirement money you've already accumulated and start your own business. New businesses are started every day. That's one possibility. Or you can certainly look to redeploy your skills and experiences by finding another career that maybe is similar, or use those skills in another way. If there's an area that's booming, you know, I'll use, for example, and this is a really rough example, but look at the oil industry, the exploration of shale oil and all of this stuff, you know, the booming that's going on in the Dakotas for drilling for oil. You know, I'm not saying jump, you know, pick up your stuff and move to Dakota, but somebody maybe who's been in a sales field in another industry and gotten laid off could certainly take that experience and translate it maybe into the oil business, selling oil. So think about the core skills you have. And you don't necessarily need to look for an exact match. Think about what you're really good at and then look for other industries where you can apply those same skills. And be careful if you're going to – I want to go back to starting your own business. If you're going to do that, you need to be honest with yourself and set a limit. I'm going to use $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000, whatever it is, as a dollar amount. Where before you start the business and say, that's the most I'm going to use to do that for this business, and if it doesn't work, I can't make it fly, then I'm going to go back and find another job and not decimate all of my retirement savings. Because, you know, when you say you've got $10,000 in and you're like, well, gosh, I'm going to, you know, it's not working, I need to put another $5,000 in. You know, once you've already got 10 in, you're like, I got to get put throw five in to get the 10 out. No, you got to put a cap on it because emotion will get in your way there. Another thing, of course, that a lot of people do, and of course you've got to be 62 to do this, is to draw the Social Security early. That's an option. That's not a bad option, but it's may not be enough, and you've got to make sure you have enough other money to sustain you. Unemployment helps people, but that's going to end after a period of time. Tapping into your retirement savings. If you've got a Roth account, you can use that first because that'll be the lowest tax money you can get to. If you've had the account for at least 5 years, that's an option. And then you can pull on it. And what you want to do, of course, is you want to build your own little retirement plan or consult with a financial planner to help you. I mean, that's what we do every day. That's what financial planners help people figure out. I just met with a lady today who was trying to figure out, she hadn't lost her job, but she was trying to figure out, how do I make more money and how do I improve my situation? And so we kind of coached her through, built a plan and coached her through what to do. So see a financial planner and have them help you figure out, okay, what are all my sources of income and how much do I need to supplement until either I start a job, you know, start another career, relocate, sell my house, help you do financial triage to see you through the tough spot. And see, and for some people, they can actually go ahead and retire, but that's the minority. And so you want to have them help you, the planner help you figure out where to draw your money the most economically and to not pay any more taxes than you have to. That might mean then after you've used up Roth money, going to 401k, IRA money, you've got to be careful if you do that before 59 and a half, because there's tax penalties and there are rules that allow you to take it out before 59.5. The section of the tax code is called 72T, and that's just simply named for the specific section of the tax code that lets you withdraw money out of your IRA without paying that 10% penalty, but there's certain rules you have to follow. And the key here with dealing with being unemployed at an older age when you're closer to what would otherwise be retirement is to get help and to seek the advice of a professional that can guide you through it.
Do you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon, or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume. It's huge when somebody says, "That job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United.
Go to liveunitedinvolutiaflagler.org. Brought to you by the United Way and the Ad Council.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
All right, we're back. And here is your 2-minute warning for today. And you know, I talk a lot about the financial scams that are out there and how that can affect you. And I'm just going to give you today a real quick, well, 2 minutes worth. I'm going to give you a 2-minute rundown on some of the warning signs that are out there. And some of these things, it doesn't mean it's automatically a fraud or a scam, but these are some of the things that I have seen and observed and interviewing people in law enforcement. Some of the things that are out there that are kind of signals or signs to be on the lookout for and at least raise a yellow flag or maybe a red flag. So here they are. And this is right out of my book, How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. Yes, that's a little bit of a shameless plug, but great book if you haven't taken a look at it. All right, number one, these are the attributes or characteristics of the scam. Number one, it's a big secret. Shh, don't tell anybody. I'm just sharing this with you. You know, for people that are in the financial business or anybody selling or trying to deliver a service, they want as many people as possible to get that. They don't want you keeping it a secret. They want you to refer 50 of your closest friends and neighbors. So if somebody says it's a big secret or it's exclusive, that's the other thing, your red flag should immediately go up. It's hard to get written information about whatever it is, okay? Make sure that you get everything in writing, and if it's not available, that's another warning sign. You do something and there's no statements issued. Statements should come periodically on whatever you get into. It's foreign in origin. That means we got to go to Zimbabwe to get this, or somewhere in Africa or Europe or somewhere to get this financial product. There's plenty of good stuff right here in America, and it doesn't have to be all this exotic foreign stuff. And those are warning signs for me. And last but not least, there's this huge pressure on time and urgency, and you got to do it right away or limited quantities. Don't buy it. Those are obvious signs of a possible fraud. Tune in tomorrow, and I will share more real-world stuff, real people, real problems. That's what we're going to focus on this show. Thanks for being with me.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, because I can't go. I owe.
to the company store.